As we began our worship this morning, we prayed for God's mercy. And when we pray the petitions, the intercessions, we will again pray for God's mercy. And at the end of Mass, before we're sent out to do the work of the kingdom, we will once again pray for God's mercy. In many ways, the mercy of God is the theme of the Lenten season. And so it seems appropriate that on the first Sunday of Lent, we might spend just a little bit of time considering the mercy of God. Of all the qualities that the scriptures speak of pertaining to God, that God is wise, God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, God is creator. Of all the qualities that describe God, the principal quality, the first quality, is that he is merciful. And the Hebrew word hesed is the word that describes God of the covenant, a God of loving mercy. And so one could almost say that the definition of God, at least from the creature's point of view, is mercy. Very early in the history of the Israelite people, they created the Ark of the Covenant. And it was in that Ark that they held the Ten Commandments, the covenant that God had made with Israel. The Ark was a wooden box. It was about the size of this altar. It was 4.5 feet long, about 2.5 feet wide, and about 3 feet, 3.5 feet deep. It was made of acacia wood. But the cover, the lid on top of the box, the lid was made of gold. And the lid was called the mercy seat. And above that lid is where the presence of God was found. The ark was placed in a tent, and the Israelites would gather outside the tent and they would worship. And once a year, the chief priest, the high priest, was able to go inside the tent, was able to go where the ark was. And what he did was, he sprinkled the mercy seat with the blood of the sacrificed lamb. And this was on the Day of Atonement, the Day of Forgiveness, the Day of Reconciliation. The word for mercy seat in Hebrew is the word for lid or cover. So the cover or the lid over the ark. But when that word is used as a verb, the word mercy seat means atonement or forgiveness or to cover, as one would, for instance, say, I covered the debt. The quality of mercy is at the very heart of God's self-revelation. And Jesus will say to his disciples and to the Pharisees at the time of his calling of Matthew as a disciple. Remember, he goes into Matthew's house and he eats with Matthew and his friends. And the Pharisees, they watch this and they say, how is it that this man can be called a prophet if he takes time to eat at the table of sinners? And Jesus hears what they're saying and he says to them, go and learn the meaning of these words. And then he quotes from Hosea, the prophet. I desire not sacrifice, I desire mercy. The great quality that is God's is the quality that you and I are invited to demonstrate to each other. In St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus will say, you're to be perfect as God is perfect. And then people begin to wonder, what's the perfection of God? And we have to go to St. Luke's Gospel, where Luke says, you are to be merciful as the Lord your God is merciful. That quality of God is the very sign of God's presence. Thomas Merton, the Trappist monk, the American spiritual writer, wrote once about the theology of the devil. And he says, the devil has a whole system of theology and philosophy. And the first principle of the devil's system is the law must always win. And the second principle is there must never be mercy. This theological system is the very mark of the theology of hell. For in hell there is everything except mercy. And that is the reason why God is absent from hell. Because mercy is nothing more or less than the manifestation of God's presence. One of the great pieces of literature that flowed from the pen of William Shakespeare were the words that Portia speaks in The Merchant of Venice. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesses him that gives and him that takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throned monarch better than his crown. His scepter shows the force of temporal power, the attribute to awe and majesty, wherein doth sit the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above this sceptered sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute of God himself. And earthly power doth then show like God's when mercy seasons justice. If you want to put in one capsule sentence or thought as to what is the mission What is the mission of the disciple? What is the mission of the church? What is the mission of a Christian community? What is the litmus test of its authenticity? What is the sign that it is truly a gospel community? If you wanted to look for one point that would cover all of that, it would be that mercy is shown. Mercy is lived. Mercy is the hallmark. Mercy is how the community of faith is to be identified. And mercy is practical. You and I have as our teaching that there are works of mercy that are to mark our lives. And those works have to do with something very practical. We are to feed the hungry. We are to clothe the naked. We are to embrace and welcome the stranger. We are to house the homeless. We are to comfort the sick. We are to stand by the prisoner. And we are to bury the dead. Those are the works of mercy, the works by which disciples of Jesus will be known. And they are, in our acting, simply the proclamation of how gracious God has been to us. For we have been showered with God's mercy. We have been fed with His mercy. Our thirst has been satisfied by His mercy. Our nakedness has been covered by His mercy. Our brokenness has been healed by His mercy. Go and learn what this means. I do not desire sacrifice. I desire mercy.